Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Welcome to Live with Passion. I want to talk to you today about making good choices and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you in your life. Maybe you're faced with a difficult decision and you're not quite sure what to do. And I want to read to you a scripture from Exodus, the book of Exodus, chapter 40, the end of the chapter. And it said that the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses was not able to enter the tent because of the cloud, and the Lord filled the tabernacle. Throughout all the journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, the people of Israel would go forward. But if the cloud didn't move, they didn't move until the day when the cloud moved. Throughout all their journeys, the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and the fire was upon it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel. The word of the Lord, thanks be to God. Well, I think that's such a beautiful story because it shows, first of all, that God wants to lead and guide us. And it shows, second of all, that God does lead and guide us. See, the Hebrews were traveling through the desert, and they're on the way to the promised land. They didn't know the way. And the interesting thing is they had the Shekinah cloud of God, the very glory of God, the presence of God with them in the tent of meeting. That's where Moses used to go and commune with God. And they could see the cloud. And whenever the cloud would move, the whole assembly would go forward. Whenever the cloud would stay, they would stay. So in other words, wouldn't this be wonderful? God made their choices. It was really easy. They just followed the cloud. And wouldn't that be great in life, you know, should I marry this person? What type of a job should I have? Should I become a priest? What school should I go to? Wouldn't it be great if the cloud would show us? But it's the same for everybody. We got to make our own choices, but the cloud is still there, whether we see it or not. It's just a matter of getting in touch with the cloud, the Shekinah glory of God, and getting in contact. You know, we all have lots of choices to make every day. Talk about choices and decisions. The great gift that we have, that God has given to us, is the gift of free will and the power to choose. And we are responsible for our choices. The choices that we make are really, really important. And so I want to talk to you about making good choices. And I want to say that who you are today is a result of yesterday's choices. Did you ever think about that? Who you are right now is because of your choices yesterday. And who you're going to be tomorrow is a result of today's choices. So choose life and live. And wisdom dictates that you choose today what you're going to be happy with tomorrow. That's what I like to define wisdom as. You choose today what you're going to be happy with tomorrow. You don't choose today what you're going to be happy with right now. In other words, you max out your credit card and then tomorrow you got to pay for it. No, you choose today what you're going to be happy with tomorrow. And it has to do with a whole life ahead of you. And then, of course, I like this saying, choice is the chisel that we use to sculpt our life. Choice is the chisel that we use to sculpt our life. So choices, decisions are crucial and important, and God wants to help you because He has a plan for your life. He has a destiny for you, and He wants to help you to make good choices. He gave us free will, and He wants to lead and guide us by His cloud of glory and by a pillar of fire and when it's dark and we can't see the way. So I want to talk about choices and the power of choice. You know, we're always making choices. For example, I play golf. And, you know, golf is a fun game and everything, but you take a bag of clubs with you. And if you look at the bag of clubs, they let you take 14 clubs from a driver to a 5-iron to a pitching wedge to a putter and everything in between. Now, on any given shot, you have a choice what club you're going to use, and you've got 14 choices in there. So golf is all about choices. So is most of life. To date, I've written 15 books, and you can choose any of those. They're all going to help you. I'm hoping that you're going to shop till you drop, so you have all kinds of choices there. And I love to play games. One of the games that I like to play is chess. Chess has all these different pieces on the board. You know, chess is one person against another. And there's 16 different pieces on that board, from a king all the way down to the pawn. And what you do is you move them. You make the decisions to move which piece, where. And once you take your hand off that piece, you are responsible for that choice. Now, it's not a choice while you have a hand on it. It's a maybe. But once you take your hand off it, you're responsible for the choice you made, and it can either make you or break you. So I want to talk about choices. And, you know, we have a bunch of choices in life. You know, I just listed a few. If you go traveling, you know, you got to buy an airline ticket. You don't use travel agents anymore. You just go online and you do it yourself. You got to pick the flight that you want, the seat that you want, you know, all these different type things, the car, the rent a car, what type. You know, money has a lot to do with it, but it's your choice. You know, you're your own travel agent in many different ways. At least I am when I travel. But, you know, I want to talk about choice and the power of choice and how we have free will, and it's really important. And I wanted to tell you, one time I was traveling and I went to San Jose. This was just recently. And I was going on my retreat. I flew into San Jose. I was going to drive down south, Big Sur, you know, and I needed a car. I had already booked a car with Avis Rent-A-Car. And so I go up to the woman at the gate there, or at the, you know, at the counter. And I said, you know, I'd like to rent a car, and here's my contract. And I said, I'm a Catholic priest, and I'm going to be driving down the coast to go on retreat. And, you know, the car that I had rented, by the way, was the cheapest car you could get. It was a little compact. You know, the cars are really expensive. So I just said, get me something to get me down the coast. That's what I'm thinking. You know, and I didn't pay much money for it. Well, actually, I paid a lot of money for it, but it was the cheapest thing I could get. So I gave the woman the contract, and she looks at me. She said, you're a priest? I said, yeah, I'm a priest. She goes, you don't look like a priest. I go, well, thank you. I appreciate that, but I'm just not wearing my collar. And she said, well, I grew up Catholic. And I said, well, wonderful. I'm glad to hear that. But she said, I'm not going to church anymore. I said, well, I can change that. And we got in this interesting conversation. Next thing you know, she hands me these keys. And she goes, it's over in space 67 or whatever she said. And there's all these cars everywhere, every kind of car you can imagine. You know, this garage is just full of cars. So I go over to space number 67, and I had a big suitcase with me. And because, you know, I'm going on retreat for about 10 days or so. And so I look at the car that she gave me, and it wasn't a little teeny compact car. It was a small car, but it was a sports car, a convertible, and I popped the trunk open and I tried to put my bag in there and it wouldn't fit in there. It's this little sports car. She's figuring, you know, she's going to give this to a Catholic priest so I can tool down Route 1 with the top down and have a good time, and I appreciated all that. I couldn't even fit the bag in the car. So I go back to her and I says, thank you for giving me a sports car. I just paid for a little thing and you gave me this really nice car, but I can't even fit my luggage in the car. And she goes, she points over there. And she pointed over to this red Mustang, and it had a big sign over it, and it said, rent me. Now, I've been to Ford dealers before. These things retail for like $50,000. So I go over to this thing, you know, and I look at it, and I pop the trunk on there, and I try to get I couldn't get the suitcase in that one either. And I'm looking at it, and I said, boy, this would be nice to tool down Route 1 in this thing. But so I couldn't get in. I go back to her. I go, I can't get the suitcase in that thing either. So she goes, go pick a car. Anything you want. I go, I can have anything. She goes, yes, just pick anything. I go out into the parking lot, and there's cars galore, new cars, sports cars, convertibles, SUVs, Cadillacs, you name it. And, you know, because I'm a priest and she's Catholic and everything, she's giving me the pick. And it's like, I had too many choices. I didn't know what to choose. I finally just picked a little SUV like we have here in the community and drove that happily down the coast. But my whole point is that sometimes we have so many choices, we don't know what to choose. And in life, we have a plethora of choices. We have the gift of free will. And we want to choose what's according to God's will. And I want to help you because I believe that, as I said, God is there. He has a wonderful plan for your life. He wants you to fulfill your destiny, and He wants you to walk in the best possible way that you can that would fulfill His will for your life. And what you have to do, first of all, is allow Him, invite Him into your life, and God will help you. So let's talk a little bit about this. People are struggling with all kinds of decisions, you know. What about my children? Who should I choose as a spouse? Where should I go to college? Should I have the operation? What do I do about my parents, you know, that are sick? So if you're in the midst of a decision right now, I want to try to help you the best I can. Let's talk a little bit about Jesus. You know, He had to make decisions in His life. And one of the prime decisions that He had to make had to do with His ministry. And then, who would help Him in His ministry? You know, He chose 12 apostles, but do you know what He did right before He chose the apostles? He went to a mountain and prayed. And the Bible says that He spent all night in prayer to God, came down from the mountain, and He chose His 12 apostles. Well, that's interesting. There was a lot of people following Him. He had all kinds of different choices. But notice what He did is He sought God. He went to the tent of meeting. He looked for the cloud. Father, what should I do? And so He made a choice based on prayer. That's one of the things that I do when I pray is every day I always pray this. I surrender and I say, Lord, lead me, guide me, control me. I don't want to just be led by what's on the top of my head. I don't want to be led by my emotions. I don't want to be led just by my feelings. I want to be led by the Spirit of God and what I say and what I do and my life choices. And so prayer is really crucial. And I know that most of you do pray and then you say, well, I still don't feel like I know what to do. But at least, you know, it's very important that you pray first. That's exactly what Jesus did. And then I have to tell you, even though He prayed, notice some of the people that He chose. He chose a tax collector. Peter denied Him. He chose Judas, who betrayed Him. So even though He prayed, the Son of God, and He made a good, informed, prayerful God decision, there was still suffering in His life. And I want to tell you that even though you make prayerful choices, there will still be sufferings that will occur because it's real life. You know, even in the best of choices, there's always difficulties, there's always problems, there's always choices. So don't think, you know, when hardship comes in your life, oh, I made the wrong decision, or this isn't the person I should have married, even though I prayed about it and everything. This is hard. I did something wrong. Well, no, this is real life. You don't just give up. You know, you stick with your choices, you know, the best that you can, unless there's abuse or something really, really difficult. But you stick with your choices. You persevere. You know, religious life, for example, it's not always easy. There are hardships. There are difficult people. There are times when I feel like I've made the wrong choice. I remember I woke up on retreat one time, and the thought came to me, you know, about suffering and about the choices that I've made. And this is the thought that I got, that yes, I suffer now in the choices that I've made, but I would have suffered in any of the choices that I would have made, whether it be marriage, having children, another job in the secular market, that sufferings would have come with that too. So in other words, whatever you choose, there's going to be suffering. There's going to be difficulty. There's going to be problems. But what God spoke to me was that, yeah, I'm going to suffer, but my suffer has meaning and it has purpose because it's God's will. And I've sought God's will the best that I can. So the first thing you do, of course, is you got to seek God and make God the foundation. I love that prayer, Lord, lead me, guide me, control me. Don't be led by your head. Don't be led by emotion. Really, you know, as you pray, you trust that God will lead you. Yeah, there may be some suffering, some difficulties, but that's okay. People come up to me all the time and they say, Father, you know, I'm Catholic. We raised our children Catholic. My child has fallen away from the faith. All three of them have fallen away from the faith. What do I do? You know, how do I get them back? Well, that's a great choice, a great decision that people have to make. You know, do you force your children or do you cajole them? You know, what do you do there? Do you make them go to church? Well, let me say this. My dad and mom used to have a cat, and you know, in order to let the cat be independent and free, my dad was a carpenter. He put in a little cat door down there by the bottom of the house, You know, that's so the cat could come and go when it wanted to. Well, so Dad cut the hole and he put the little cat door in, and now you got to train the cat to go in and out of the door. And that's never an easy thing. In fact, it says in the instructions, it says, under no circumstances, force the cat through the door, otherwise you're going to lose the whole thing. So my dad is a very patient man. And what you have to try to do is you have to try to coax the cat to go through the door with food, and you got to be patient. And finally, in time, the cat, you know, any of you that have a cat or dog door, you know this. Finally, in time, you know, the cat will go through and he'll figure it out. Once he goes through once, it's great. And it said, under no circumstances, force that cat through the door, otherwise you're going to lose the whole thing. So as I said, my dad's real patient, and he tried to coax it, and he tried to cajole the cat to go through, and he tried to, you know, tempt it with food, and he tried to call it. Nothing he was doing was working. That cat would not go through the door. Finally, I remember my dad took that cat, and he tried to force it through the door. The cat's arms are out like this. You know, my dad's pushing. The cat wouldn't go. He's meowing and everything, and it was a disaster. Well, I think about that story because a lot of times when it comes to children leaving the faith, the temptation is to try to force them to come back, to try to make them come back, and to try to cajole them, if you will, you know, and kind of cram it down their throat and make them come back. And here's what I think. If they're old enough, if they're 18 years old or older, you gave them the foundation. You taught them. You loved them. In a way, you got to let them go. You got to let them experience life. Remember the story of the prodigal son? The father loved the son, but he let him go, learn about life, hoping that what he taught him would take root. And finally, the son came back. Now, when I say let him go, it doesn't mean that you don't pray for him or just say, oh, the heck with you, you're gone. No, no, no. Remember, the father was at the driveway always watching for his son to come back. So, you know, you pray for him, you stay attached, you keep loving him, but you don't force it down their throat. You know, you show them your joy, you tell them stories once in a while, you invite them to come to church, but you don't force it down their throat. So that to me is really important, you know, when it comes to decisions, and especially towards your children. But if they're still living at home, they're younger than 18, yes, you bring them to church, try to do it in a joyful way. Don't make church a point of contention. Don't make it something mean or forceful. Show them your joy. Show them how good God is. Smile at them. Laugh. Show them that church can be fun. Make them want to. You know, you got to coax them. You got to attract them. You know, that's really important. And then I have people come up to me asking about a religious vocation. Father, do I have a religious vocation? I'm not sure. And, you know, and if that's you, you're watching the TV program right now, I pray you'll listen to what I'm about to say. I went to novitiate. That's a year of discernment, trying to understand, you know, am I called to be a passionist? Now, I remember my year of novitiate, a year of prayer and study. I wish I saw the cloud. I wish I saw the fire, the pillar of fire at night, telling me, yes, I'm calling you to be a passionist. Yes, I'm calling you to be a priest. I didn't see any cloud. I didn't see any fire. I remember praying, wanting black and white answers. I didn't seem to get it. I don't think anybody else with me got these, you know, a chalkboard written, yes, this is my will for you. But here's what I did get. I got a peace within that this was the right path for me. And this is one of the ways that you can tell that the cloud is there. The peace that surpasses all understanding. If you don't have peace about a decision, whether it be buying a house or a car or spending some money or about where your child goes to college or maybe you're deciding about going to college, if you don't have peace, you know, go with your gut. And if you don't have peace within, then don't do it. The Bible talks about being led by peace. Let peace be the umpire in your heart. You know what umpires do? They call the balls and the strikes. You know, that's a strike, that's a ball, that's in, that's out. You let peace be the umpire. So I want to tell you that that was one of the biggest decisions of my life, of course, was becoming a priest and joining the Passionists, and I had to be led by peace. But I also have to tell you that I didn't make that decision alone. There were people helping me all along the way, spiritual directors, friends, people that I talked to. And a lot of times people that will come to me and say, Father, you know, I'm not sure if I have a call to the priesthood, I will say, well, have you ever talked to a spiritual director? And they'll say no. And I'll think, well, you know, I want to lead you and guide you to talk to somebody that you can get along with, that you seem to jive with very, very easily, to communicate your desires. And that's really important. No matter what decision that you're going through, you talk to a trusted friend. Not to everybody, but to somebody that you can trust. You talk to a priest, you talk to a sister, and you communicate. And that's really important because they can help you by listening, and as you talk things out, that can help you to make a decision. Say you're struggling in a marriage, and you're thinking, am I going to get a divorce? Is this the right person? Did I marry the wrong person? Talk to a counselor. Both of you, if you can get the spouse to go to a counselor, talk things out. There's something called Retrovi. That is a retreat for people with struggling marriages. You know, you work with it. You work with the community. You don't just say, oh, this is it, I'm out of here. You know, and make that decision. Make good, informed decisions with the community. They can help you. St. Ignatius of Loyola was a great saint, came up with what's called the Ignatian method of discernment. And he talked all about this communication, that you don't just make decisions on your own, that you talk with other people, you communicate, it's really important. And something that Ignatius said that was really important, he talked about interior movements or inner movements. In other words, how do you make a decision? You look at your desires, you look at your inner desire. For example, my desire to get on TV and preach and reach out to people, I have to tell you, there was so much that came against me. It was so hard to do. There were so many obstacles and so many walls. But the way that I stood against it was this choice that I made, because of the only word I can use for it was there was a fire, a passion, an energy deep in my heart to want to reach out to people. I believe that's the cloud. I believe that's the pillar of fire at night. See, when you make decisions, look within. Look at your desires, not just your fleeting emotions, but desires that last. And you know, that fire that I'm talking about, to want to reach out on TV, to write books, to preach missions, become a Catholic priest, that fire didn't go away. I think it was Ezekiel said, there's a fire pent up in my bones, you know, and I try to shut it up, but it keeps wanting to come out. And so you look for that when you make decisions. Look for the fire. Look for the cloud. It's there. And God will speak to you through your desires. And I need to tell you that, as I said before, when you say yes to something, say priesthood, you have to say no to something else, marriage. When you say yes to marriage, you have to say no to everybody else. So realize that when you make a decision, you're going down one road, and you can't go down every road. So please understand that. And then another thing that I want to make clear about choices is that the number one goal of our life is not to be happy. People say, well, I want to make a choice to be happy. Well, that's all in good. That's good and everything. But I have to tell you that the number one goal that God has for you and His will for you above happiness is the transformation of your life. Now, He has a destiny for you. He has a will for your life, and He has a plan for your life. But I can guarantee you this, it's going to mean that your life be transformed, that your life be changed. Happiness will come from doing God's will, not from what you think will make you happy. So the number one goal that God has is your transformation. So make choices in accordance with God's will, not just what you think is going to make you happy. Happiness will come from doing God's will. Happiness will come from submitting yourself to God. So let's kind of sum all this up now. I want you to think, are there any choices that you need to make right now? Are you in the midst of a crossroads and you're not quite sure what to do with your children or your future or your very own life and you're not quite sure? Well, first of all, seek the cloud, the pillar of fire. Like Jesus, make good choices through prayer. remember, Lord, lead me, guide me, control me. Look for peace. Let peace guide you. If you don't have peace about it, then don't do it. And then, of course, look at your desires within, the fire within, for something that endures, and follow your gut. Remember to talk it out. Communicate with a spiritual director. Find somebody that you can trust. Talk it out. Get another opinion. If you're struggling in a marriage, then go to a counselor. Work it out. Don't just make decisions on your own and that's the way things are. And then, of course, realize that you're going to suffer in any choice that you make. But life isn't all about perfection. It's about God working in you to transform you and to bring you into the fullness of His will. And then, lastly, it's transformation, not happiness, that God wants. Happiness will come through transformation, but seek change and transformation first. And I'm praying that the Shekinah cloud that guided the Hebrews through the desert, the pillar of fire that led them at night, will be with you and help you to make good choices that will determine your destiny and help you to live with passion. Don't just live, live with passion.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live, live with passion.